Good morning, happy Easter, and welcome to Catholic Views. I am Emily Leadham, in for Jerry Klein. We have an exciting episode this morning. First of all, an interview with Father Paul and Father John Rutten, talking about the glory of Easter, talking about how God loves us each specifically, and how we can carry on the graces that we received this Lent into the Easter season. But first, we have our readings, the first reading read by Renee Leach, and the Gospel by Father Brian Eckridge.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Peter proceeded to speak and said, "You know what has happened all over Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism, that John preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. This man God raised on the third day and granted that he be visible, not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commissioned us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if then you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloths there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
You're listening to Catholic Views, and I am here with the Rutten Brothers, too. Welcome to Catholic Views, Fathers. Father John and Father Paul Rutten are in studio with us today. Happy Easter, my
Happy
friends.
Happy Easter to you, Emily, and Father Paul.
Alleluia!
Alleluia! Oh, amen.
I so missed that.
Did you guys, was that a swear word in your house during Lent?
No.
If you said alleluia, you had to put a quarter in the piggy bank or something?
I don't think people understand what our house was really like. Everybody thinks we were probably this great, No. I mean, we were Catholic, definitely, and my parents prayed and they loved Jesus, but we weren't We didn't find that out until we went to seminary.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, gentlemen. Yeah. So here we are. We've arrived in Easter. And fathers, I saw a video that you put out last week regarding gifting. It was just absolutely cute and hilarious, and it was fun to see you both in your element, or not in your element, should I say, looking at you, Father Paul.
Yep.
But it was about gifting, and it was about this reality that each of us have gifts that we bring to the table. And as we find ourselves here in Easter, one of the things that it got me thinking about was just God's very specific love for us. You know, that he doesn't just love us as in a general us. It's he loves us and he loves me. He loves me specifically. And I would love to just start out talking a little bit about maybe how you have come to that realization of God's very specific love for you. How does God love us specifically? How does God love you specifically? Father John, maybe we can start with you.
The most helpful place has actually been other people. But it's taken a humility. So I can see in my past, now that I look back, I can see the ways I was gifted. But at the time, some of those same things were used for my own vanity or my own pride or my own need to be self-important.
Hmm.
And not in a bad way. Like I think I always like to say, I like wanted people to like me enough that I also knew how to rub off the hard edges of my faults, you know?
Sure.
So people didn't really see it at work. I think they thought I was really affable and everything, but really I like had a great need, to be accepted and a part of things. And so, I volunteered a lot. I did a lot of stuff. I was involved in a lot of things. Well, now as I look back on it, and then that was kind of crushed when I went through conversion and when I just got to the end of my rope and I realized like I'm suffocating in this stuff that seemed to make me thrive that I needed so much. I'm suffocating. And when it was crushed on the other side, I doubted it. I doubted that those things were really my gifts. But I had learned that God uses other people to like show me who I am. And if I don't impose on them, you know, I can do this thing where I like trick you into telling me what I want to hear, you know?
Oh, totally.
I could, yeah. So it's not that. It's like the real surprise when somebody says, you know, and a place, a couple of things that we'll give examples and then I'll turn it over. After I was ordained a deacon, immediately afterwards, I came out of the church. I was ordained at St. Catherine Drexel actually because our cathedral was under renovation at the time. And Chris Rollis, who is somebody from the Sioux Falls area, was outside the door when I was coming out. And he stopped me and he said, I've never seen someone so filled with joy. I'm like, joy?
Me?
Didn't you see me in there?
Me?
I'm not smiling. Like, that was a pretty serious
bullets.
Liturgy, you know?
Yeah.
And so it like helped me. Ah, whatever is happening right now is what he sees. And he says this is joy.
Yeah.
And so it helped me redefine what my idea of joy was.
Yeah.
Another thing was my sister Christy used to tell me that I was really funny. Well, I didn't think I was necessarily funny. I've got a really great friend, Ryan Noonan, and that man is hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, he's funny. I was the serious one. I'm the one who goes deep. I'm the one who, like, funny. But as I started paying attention, I'm like, ah, there is, like, a thing that can come out of me once in a while that's sort of humorous. And okay, maybe that's what she's talking about. And then my sister Shelley was an instrument for me recognizing the gift of using social media. And I really learned to be obedient to something that was happening through her with social media. And that's really why I started all my homilies online. I did everything because I listened to somebody outside of me. But it takes a humility to really let that happen because it also includes being corrected.
Yes.
And that's painful and I don't want to be corrected.
Yes.
I don't want to be told that, but to be told where your gifts are also is people saying, you know, not really interested in that.
Yep.
No. And you're like, whoa.
Yep. Yep. So and that is the Father's love. That is the Father's love saying, okay, Father John, pull this, you know, pulling this thing out of you, but then also, kind of curbing those edges a little bit. I think that's beautiful. What would you say, Father Paul?
I guess one of the things, you know, people will sometimes say like parents need to love all their kids the same, you know? And it's like, well, I don't think they do. Like, I can't have a favorite, right? You know, or they struggle when they like one or they get along with one better than the other. And it's like, well, there's a natural disposition. There's just these natural ideas. It doesn't mean that you don't love them all, but you really do have the ability to say there's just a uniqueness about each and every one of us, and we're all made differently. And so to be able to be okay in the areas where God really does love us, and maybe in a way that isn't the same for someone else, and in that idea of accepting that you have those things. The other thing I think, though, is when you're loved by God, you do end up with this great freedom to be able to be real. Like, you can be like, well, I'm not very good at this. Like, this is just not, you know, really the area that I'm gifted, but it's still okay that I'm not gifted in that area of it as well.
Do you think that's a fruit of your friendship with God? I can't help but think of that ability to be real and to be honest with ourselves and with God. That comes from friendship. That comes from this, like, deep willingness to know and to be known.
Sure. I think it also comes from our own father. Like, it was evident I was not going to be a carpenter. Very evident. Like, you know, so I worked alongside him and I'm like, this is not going to work.
This is not for me.
Whereas our brother Tom, like, it was evident that, like, this was his gift. Like, him and dad could work together. They could do things. He could build, like, all of that. But it wasn't then that my dad didn't love me, but my dad could see that wasn't my path. And so his love for me came in different ways. And so while he still let me work with him, you know, I also knew that there was another area of life where I could receive his love in a way as well, in my gifts as well. So it was the ability for me to be able to be with my father in the area that I wasn't gifted and know he still loved me. So they had the freedom to be able to say, well, but it's what I need to do right now.
Yeah, I think this is great. Thanks,
that's
man.
That's a great, like, example. Yeah. Dang.
I was like, oh, I was going another way.
Let's
you know?
Just end the interview and stop it there. That was amazing. Yeah,
yeah,
beautiful.
And this, I think, is the beauty, maybe, that it also ties into what you're saying. For me, it seems like they're kind of duly connected. You know, when you know you're loved by the Father, God the Father, you sort of have, I mean, that's what we're all looking for. That's the end goal.
Right.
But the Christian proclamation is that love of the Father is transmitted through a person.
Right.
That it's not, yes, there is a moment in prayer. And when I pray, you know, a lot of times the struggles I have with all that stuff is what I bring to prayer. And it's where I receive the love of the Father. And I'm like, this is what I was looking for. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. But that's just a part of the Christian experience. I need to experience this. God created us to experience this love of God the Father through a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so my father, because he had a relationship with Jesus in such a way, he could be detached from who his kids were or receiving, you know, and so he could love each of us for who we were, or, you know, and I think for him, it was a journey and we were on the end of the journey. So the older kids in our family would probably say dad was very different than us, because by the time it got to us, dad had more of Jesus in him.
Interesting. Yeah.
And less of himself.
And less of himself. Like, really, you know, less of himself. It was he had a long journey.
Nine kids will do that.
Yeah. Nine kids will do that to you.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about how, because I can imagine that there's some people that are listening to this saying, I want to come to that deep awareness of God's personal love for me in my own giftedness. And I think sometimes because we're so saturated in media, we're so saturated in kind of this game of comparison in some ways that we don't even recognize it's happening. How do we get to that point of really coming to an awareness of our own gifts? Does that make sense? Like, how do we wrestle with that? How do we try things and figure out, okay, what have I taken on that really doesn't belong here? Mm-hmm. And how do I really lean into that which God has naturally given me that he wants to flourish? Yeah. Does that make sense as a question? It's a big question.
Yeah, you know, and I suppose it can be done a couple different ways. There is actually, within the church, a program you can go through where you really learn about yourself and your gifts and your what you've been given, where your strengths and weaknesses are at. Is it Sherry Waddell?
No, I think you're talking about the Catherine of Siena Institute the Spiritual Charisms Inventory.
So there is that, you know, and I think sometimes people are surprised by it because they're not fully aware of where their gift is.
Yeah.
Sometimes because we want, it's sort of like in sports, you often want to be the player that gets the most attention. And so you want the gift that's most visible or, you know, the one that gets you the most praise or whatever. And you're not really willing to step back and say, but if I just let God help me figure out what it is, I'll actually get the peace that I'm looking for in trying to do the other things.
Yes. Yes.
I think sometimes asking just, Lord, help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then being aware, like, this is the other thing, like, then to become aware and more, discerning when people say things. Or things happen in a different way. And like, why did I respond in a different way to this or those kinds of things?
Yeah. The self-awareness component.
One of the things
that's helped me is widening my understanding of what gifts are. I have a friend, Reed, and he has had a long journey to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but he is like radiating Easter every day. Mm. And he's really unsuspecting. If you saw him somewhere, you wouldn't be like, oh, that man is radiating Jesus, you know. But when you dialogue, you're like, wow, this man's really profound. And he told me one time, he said, his spiritual director, a priest friend, I think, told him that he had the gift of encouragement. And,
Encouragement.
Encouragement? What do you mean the gift of encouragement? Like I did. And he really was, he encourages people. When he encourages people, people respond. You know, I can be like, Emily, have a good day today.
Yeah, keep it coming, Father.
Your hair looks nice. You know, you're doing such a good job, you know, being a wife. And, you know, and you're like,
whatever.
Yeah. This man says the same words to you and you're filled.
And it propels me back into those places where I'm meant to be.
Yeah. That's what I think when we widen our understanding, sometimes we're looking at the world and the things that sort of, you know, oh, and I guess I have to be a great orator, or I guess I have to be great on Facebook, or I got to be a great person on the radio, or, well, maybe you're the one who really knows organization and you don't need to be in front of anything, but the world and God designed you to be something different, an encourager, you know? I just went through the, drive-through line the other day, you know, and as things have started get, you know, they're wearing gloves, they're really protected, they're doing all these things. And I thought, you know, these people are gifted. There's like, there's something, they're gifted too. And I hope she knows she's gifted. It doesn't discount, like maybe her gift is that when she distributes this food, she actually does it with a warm heart. You know, you ever met those people at drive-through and they're just like angry at the world? Yeah. You know? Well, maybe her gift is you walk away and you get your coffee from McDonald's and you actually, the world's a good place. So expand what you understand to be your possible gifts. And then I really would say, this is going to sound weird, pray about it and just sit with it for a minute. You have to do the things for yourself first, okay? And I know that sounds selfish, but this is what I mean. A lot of times we start with other people, and so we don't see the thing God's moving in us. Our desires are a part of how God created us. I don't do stuff on Facebook. I don't put my stuff, homilies online, like to save the world or to evangelize. I do it because there's something in me that moves. It's like a way God created me. And so I think it should be in a natural order that you sort of feel it gives you life too. And that's a really beautiful place to be. And I think we can immediately think that's selfish. And so we stay away from it. But every time I start with what does everyone else need me to do or be, I suffocate. But when I just say, what do I want to do? And during these days of social isolation and all of this stuff, when I think, what does my parish need? I'm handicapped. I'm like frozen. I can't do anything. When I think, what do I desire? It's like, I know what I want. I want to just share my heart with people. And then I'm like, oh, why don't I just do a little video and put it on YouTube? And then everybody's like, Father, thanks for those videos. They're really great. And I'm like, why did I go through 2 weeks of like,
what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
So first it should be for you. I think pay attention to that and then trust that. Then pay attention to what other people's responses are. But if it's already for you and it is disconnected from the other people's responses, then whether people respond or not is not up to you.
Yeah.
And this is the great, then I'll turn it back to Paul. Pete Kurth is a gentleman that was at St. Lambert Parish, and he passed away a little bit ago. And he made these little comfort crosses for people that were in the hospitals. So if he, and then he would go into the hospital, and if you were sick, if you knew anyone was sick, he would pull one out of his pocket, hand-carved comfort cross, and he'd give you this thing. It was really powerful. He must have made hundreds or thousands of these things.
Whoa.
At his funeral, I talked to a gentleman, and I said something about the comfort cross, and the man said, well, my dad taught him how to make those.
Wow.
You're kidding.
So whose gift is more important, the one person who taught one person how to make them or the one person who made them for thousands of people?
Right. Right.
So can we be, so if we know it's giving us life, then whatever the fruit is, it's up to God.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's so beautiful. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Catholic Views. I'm Emily Leadham, and I'm here with Father John and Father Paul Rutten. Fathers, in the midst of the current pandemic, one of the questions I have been asking myself is, what do I want to take with me after this experience? What do I want to bring into normal, quote unquote, life that maybe graces that I've kind of received or things that I've learned about myself amidst the current pandemic? As we enter into Easter, coming out of this season of Lent, coming out of 40 days of fasting or almsgiving, all the things, right? What are ways that we can carry some of our Lenten practices, the graces received in that season of Lent, into Easter? Because I think for a long time, I felt like, okay, Lent is done, free for all. Let's, you know, whatever, you know, here, eat all the ice cream and whatever. And there's a celebratory, of course, that we're called to kind of enter into in this season. But I think that's missing the point of Lent in some ways. I think I've missed the point of Lent by viewing it that way. How are we supposed to integrate these things that God has done during the Lenten season into our Easter celebrations? That's a big question.
Yeah. I would say gratitude.
Say more about that.
I don't think we're grateful. I think we just expect, especially as Americans, we expect everything. We expect it now. We expect it the way we want it. We expect it at any hour. We expect everything because we want it. And we're not grateful. We're not, because gratitude is realizing, like, I probably don't deserve this. I couldn't get this on my own, and someone else loves me enough to have done this. So are we really grateful for Jesus Christ? Are we really grateful for what he did? No, we want the Eucharist. I just want the Eucharist. I want the Eucharist.
Well, I have a right.
I have a right to it.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't. We don't have a right to anything. Like, it's a gift. And I think the Lord sort of took everything away and said, you're not grateful. Like, you're not grateful for your family. Like, I've heard more parents say, I learned so much about my kids that I didn't know because we're stuck together. Like, how did I miss all of this? Or, you know, the opportunity to be able to give somebody a hug, shake a hand, get together, like all of these things. And I think this is what Lent was for, was, am I grateful when it's given back to me? Like when I can go back onto social media, when I can eat ice cream, am I grateful when I take that first bite? Like, oh my goodness, I missed this. Mm. Not it's my right to have this, but I now eat it with, in a sense, with purpose. And I sit at a table with my family and you're just grateful, like, that they're there instead of whatever else it is. So that would be my answer.
Have you ever been driving down the road and all of a sudden you look over to the side and a car like came in out of nowhere? You're like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
Yeah. In 20 minutes, you've done that twice to me now, Paul. You've driven a car onto the same road as me. I'm like, well, now that wasn't expected. Yeah, that's like amazing.
And it was a gratitude. Really nice car.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking for a different vehicle to show up on my left side, and it wasn't showing up. And then suddenly you drove over here with gratitude.
I'm done.
That's, I don't have a response. I'm going to leave it at that.
I'd give
the same old response that I give every time. And I like this one better.
This is the other problem. It's a gift. Like, you can't manufacture gratitude. Hmm. Like, right? Like, we all know this, right? I've been given things, and I write the thank you note, and I say I'm grateful. It's not that I'm really grateful. Mm. I'm appreciative, but real gratitude is a gift. And I think we have to pray for it.
So let's talk about that. How do you cultivate that? You pray for it, but I think there's also some work that has to be done in our hearts in order to actually perceive it as gift, whatever it is. Right?
Now I can, yep, go, now, go. Now's my goal.
Here we go.
Yes, I just
he's
took
in the
over.
Ring.
I'm
yep.
in the driver's seat. This is when we see the intellectual process. You have to like recognize it say it. This is why writing can be so helpful, or even, I mean, you can type too or whatever, but the process of intellection includes this point where you say, I see the good this is. If we just go through these whole days and you never really do that, okay? So I realize waking up and praying in the morning is good for me. Oh my gosh, and look at the way it's good for me, okay? Yeah. That's the final, that's like the process. If you just do it and you never come to that process to say, this is good for me or this is bad mm-hmm. for me or I see the fruit of this. I don't want to get technical, but that's mm-hmm. the important part, that we're actually looking at our life and seeing how the things we're doing correspond to who we are.
Right.
Amen. Well, friends, may we be eternally grateful, especially as we enter into this great Easter season, as we approach Divine Mercy Sunday next week. Fathers, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right, before we wrap up today, we have Renee Kranz from the Bishop's Bulletin with us. Renee, the Bishop's Bulletin was packed with just awesome information, awesome reflections, I think, for us this month. Give us a little preview of what's inside of this month's issue.
Yeah, if you haven't taken a look at it yet, we have a great feature about offering up our suffering, which we all seem to get a lot of that these days. So take a look at it. How can you offer up your suffering for other people, make it useful, and make it a blessing for other people's lives? We also have additional ideas for how to do Mass at home, how to get along at home, and still keep our faith
together. Not that anyone is struggling with that right
yep,
now.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
Lots more resources from our website and how to go there. And we also have a bunch of photos from Bishop DeGroote's tour of the diocese earlier before all of this happened. So you'll get to see some of those photos.
Awesome. Yeah. I want to really quick just draw people. I loved the start of your article regarding mm-hmm. offering it up and how your mom used to say this too, you know, okay, yeah. come on, Renee, offer it up. And we'd roll our eyes and there was yeah. kind of this resistance to that idea. And yet as I was reading the article, I mean, I really was kind of transformed from the outside, from the inside out, mm-hmm. In the sense that it really stirred me in a way that I didn't expect. Mm-hmm. And I found myself recognizing amidst the current pandemic, amidst this desire to be celebrating Easter with family and friends right now, that we do have this opportunity. We're all grieving in our own ways.
Yeah.
And this time is not wasted.
No, nope, you know? At all. And if you haven't read it, the personal stories in there are really fantastic.
Yes.
So
yes.
check it out. It's beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved the pictures as well. It was just fun to see Bishop all over the place.
Yep.
So Renee, thank you so much. Be sure to check out your bulletin this month. And that's all of our time for today. You're listening to Catholic Views. And friends, we will be back next week.